Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 21. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this, in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
That was fantastic. I just want to thank Alan and the elders here for inviting me along. I really count it an honor to be here with you and to share the ministry with my good friend Graham as well. I would have to say that he is the slightly older boy when it comes to Harper Memorial, but a good one, a good one. I was really touched to hear Mum mentioned. I'm Joan Turrent's son, that's my claim to fame, and she's doing pretty well. She's in a lovely care home in Monifieth, and I know that she would send her regards to you. She's still doing what she's always done, making people feel welcome and speaking to people about Jesus. In fact, when we managed to get her into the home, she said to the care home manager, she said, you know, I have a son and he's a pastor and he's very good. And you should get him in here to take a service. So I got a call from the events manager of our home, whom I know and have a good relationship with, and she said, Jim, your mum tells us you're a pastor, and you're very good. Would you like to come in? So every month now, I take a team from Central Baptist into mum's home to minister there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we treasure you. Lord Jesus, we serve you. We thank you that you are unchanging in your nature, and therefore your promises to us are unchanging. As we open your word now, We pray that you would speak by your Holy Spirit powerfully to our hearts today. Amen. Amen. You know, coming back to Glasgow is lovely, but it's a bit disorientating when you've not been here for a while. And I just think that somewhere, someone has conspired to make it the most difficult task ever to actually reach Harper Church when you've not been here. I'm pretty certain that every time I arrive here, I've contravened some traffic regulation. In our world, everything is subject to change, isn't it? So many changes, so often. But my message to you this morning is this, that God never changes. He never changes. Malachi 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. Now, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you'll find that God seems to change his mind. And sometimes he frames what he says in order to help human beings understand what he's communicating to them. At other times, he seems to change his mind, but his word is conditional. So when he sends Jonah to Nineveh, he says he's going to destroy the people of Nineveh, but the people of Nineveh repent, and so God relents. God does not change. And therefore, that verse that we read this morning in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think about what is being said. If we find in the Old Covenant Scriptures that God never changes, and then we find in the New Covenant Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it is saying he is God, and he is able, and his promises never change. Hebrews was written for Jewish believers in Jesus. And the message was the unashamed supremacy of Jesus Christ over all that has gone before in Hebrew history. That Jesus is the true manifestation of God and therefore the ultimate Savior. And secondly, a call to be faithful to the unsurpassable message of Jesus Christ. Because at this time, some of these Jewish background believers were coming under persecution, and some of them were tempted to go back. And this is the message of the writer to the Hebrews. Keep going. Keep going. And so this morning, we're going to look at an overview through this precious verse of Jesus and creation, salvation, and into eternity. And then we're going to do a close-up view at this, look at this verse. What does this mean? What does this look like in a local church? God is unchanging. The term for it is immutable. God is unchanging in mind, in will, and in nature. And if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is, then it means that he is God. He is immutable. He is unchanging. And therefore, so are his promises to his people. He may be trusted in time and into eternity. Sometimes when you're going through a tough time, you simply need to hear that. You simply need to hear that. We went through a tough time back in 2016 in the church in Dundee, and a precious friend from here came and saw me at that time, and as we walked through Dundee, he just said to me, Jim, sometimes you just have to keep going. And it's true. And some of these Jewish background believers would have given up much to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's your story from where you've come from. Maybe you've lost family and friends to you because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, perhaps you need to hear like they needed to hear the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ over all that has gone before, the very manifestation of God, the ultimate Savior. and the need to be faithful to this unsurpassable revelation of God and Christ. And the message is basically this: keep going. Keep going. First of all, yesterday in creation, when we go to the beginning of the book of Hebrews, we find there the most astonishing description of the Lord Jesus Christ. His superiority over creation, over all that has gone before in Hebrew history. Verses 1 to 2, if you want to flick back in your Bible and look at verses 1 to 2 of the first chapter. In the past, the writer says, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. And through whom he made the universe. It's astonishing. Now, such talk of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ does not sit well in our pluralistic culture, where there are different views, religious views being propounded all over the place. Such a view does not sit well in our postmodern culture when you've got your truth and I've got mine. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer to the Hebrews will have no nonsense about this. He preaches the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And you know, these words, as they were read out to the congregations of Jewish background believers, must have had an incredible impact. Presented with the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes when Christians talk like that, it can sound a wee bit arrogant. But it's only arrogant if it's not true. And it is true. Therefore, in the culture in which we live, we have to say that it's true, lovingly, graciously, but to say that it's true. Why? Because it is true. It is true. Jesus' superiority is claimed over the prophets, the greatest of which to the Jews was Moses. Jesus is also positioned at both ends of salvation history. It's almost as if the writer runs history backwards. Jesus is the heir of all things, and as the creator of all things, created all things. Well, we know that God created the heavens and the earth, but we are told in Colossians 1 verse 6 that it was through the Lord Jesus Christ that this happened. What the writer is doing for the reader is making the point that Jesus Christ is the lens through which we are to understand all of salvation history. Jesus Christ is presented in superlative terms. The description of the Lord Jesus Christ here could not possibly get higher than it is. Back in the day when I had a real job, I had to go to Glasgow Airport to fly to the island of Barra. And there were half a dozen of us in the departure lounge in Glasgow Airport. And one of the ground crew came in and said, "Captain says, high winds over Barra, not sure if we're going to be able to fly this morning." Q moans and groans, "Oh dear, what are we going to do?" And then she came back a little bit later and she said, "Well, more of a chance that we're going to fly, maybe 30-40% chance of flying this morning." And then another 10-15 minutes elapsed. Then she came back and she said these words that I'll never forget. She said, "Captain says he'll have a go." Now, at that point, you've got a choice to make. You've got a choice to make, and the choice is, do you trust the captain to make that call? Do you trust the captain to get you to where you want to go? The writer to the Hebrews is saying to his readers, have confidence in the captain, because this is who he is, and this is what he can do. Jesus in creation, Jesus in salvation. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, and if you want to turn to chapter 7 and just scan it as I speak, Jesus is compared to Melchizedek, the priest. Melech in Hebrew is king, Zedek means righteousness. Jesus is compared to one who is called the King of Righteousness. Jesus is presented as superior even to Melchizedek. And this was really significant for Jewish people, because I'll tell you why. Because in that part of Genesis, Melchizedek came out and he blessed who? It was Abraham, the father of the nation. And so the symbolism is really important. Melchizedek was superior even to Abraham because Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And so now the Lord Jesus Christ, there in chapter 7 of Hebrews, is described as a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Why? Because he wasn't just part of the Aaronic priesthood given at Sinai. The picture of Jesus here is of his superiority as a greater high priest than even those high priests who served in Jerusalem. High above them. That old priesthood was part of the Sinai law that looked forward in type and in shadow to Jesus. But chapter 10 of Hebrews says the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Jesus is your great high priest, the one who makes for you, by faith, connection with God the Father. Sometimes when we, in our culture, mention the animal sacrifices of the Old Covenant, people can get a bit upset about it. It's actually meant to make us feel quite uneasy, because these blood sacrifices were to impress upon the people the nature of their sin and the need for sacrifice, the seriousness of sin and the need for a sin-bearing Savior. And the writer says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down. He sat down. What an important detail that is. Day after day, those priests kept on sacrificing, because the sacrifices that they were making were types and shadows of the ultimate sacrifice to come. But when Jesus died upon the cross, what did he say? He said, "It is finished. It's done. No more to pay." He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. A finished sacrifice. A finished sacrifice. What does that mean for you this morning? Maybe you've come here and you're trusting in Jesus, but you're still pained by your past and the things that you've said and the things that you've done. If you are in Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. Past, present, and future sin covered by the blood of Christ. Know that. Feel that. Live in it. This is so important. So important that we don't just bow to a kind of therapeutic gospel. You know, Jenny and I have a friend in Dundee, and she was converted about 6 years ago. You've never, ever in your life met anyone who was so far away from Jesus Christ. She didn't even describe herself as an atheist. She described herself as an anti-theist. She didn't want there to be a God. God, by his grace, saved her, transformed her life. And I've personally learned so much from her in the intervening years. Because she would say things like this, you know, when I was on the streets and Christians would approach us and say, you know, come to Jesus, they would say, oh, there's no God. And then they would get into a debate with us about the nature of God, or if there was a God or if there wasn't a God. And she said, invariably, it ended in stalemate. But then she said to me, she said, the Christians who really landed the blows on us were the Christians who said to us, you're broken. You're a sinner, and you need Jesus to save you and to fix you. She said these were the believers that really reached the reasons of the hearts. This is why it's so important what we look at this morning. This great sacrifice for sin. This sitting down indicating the completed sacrifice for sin. The law that some of them wanted to go back to, some of these Jewish background believers wanted to go back to, was a shadow. Jesus is the substance. And he further distinguishes himself because he is not only priest, but sacrifice. Now note the tone. Speaking to these Jewish background believers, some of whom were ready to return, he says, "Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that brings faith, that faith brings. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Don't go back, says the writer. Please, please, don't go back. Keep going forwards. Now, finally, in this section, Jesus forever in eternity. And again, the writer presses the Hebrew buttons with a mention of the father of the nation, Abraham, in Hebrews 11. Verse 9, "By faith he, Abraham, made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God." So even Abraham in his day, even when he went to the land of promise, was still looking forward for more to come. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews tells us here. And as those of us who know and love Jesus understand, we're doing the same. We're doing the same. We're looking forward for a city, a reality yet to come. John, on the island of Patmos, in his revelation says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then comes the marriage supper of the Lamb." And we see the final significant part of that verse 8 of chapter 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and now forever. Praise his holy name. And then lastly, as we look at this morning, what does this mean for us in our lives together in the local church? Here we're doing a kind of, it's kind of like we've been on Google Maps and we've done an aerial view. Now we're kind of doing a close-up view of this verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a little bit surprising the way the book of Hebrews ends. It starts with this great triumphant proclamation of who Jesus is as heir of all things and as creator. But it ends with some very practical teaching on how believers are to live together, to love, to live, to suffer, to obey our leaders and so forth. It's very practical teaching at the end of the book. And the book goes through a series of high tops, but settles in this very practical way. And it's likely that this was because this book was written at a transitional time in the churches, when the older pastors and leaders that they had were beginning to die off, and there was a danger looming. And so this very practical teaching is given. So let's look at these verses that bookend verse 8 in chapter 13. Look at it with me. 13 verse 7. The writer says to them, given that this is who Jesus is, given that you're called to be faithful, here we go, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which are of no benefit to those who do so. So that was the danger. That was the temptation that they had, to go back to the old covenant ways that had been fulfilled in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the writer here tells them to remember their leaders. Why does he tell them to do that? Well, it is a good thing, but it's more significant than that. He tells them to remember their leaders because these were the leaders who had spoken the word of God to them. These were the leaders from whom they had received the gospel. And these were the leaders whose lives were lived out before them. Why does he make this a theme? Because following Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters in Jesus, happens in the fellowship of God's people. In the fellowship of God's people. And in submission, not to a culture, but to Scripture. And I tell you, you need to encourage your leaders more and more. Because I know from my experience in Dundee, it's getting harder and harder and harder. And many of the challenges are coming from within the professing church. To alter our views on things. To go easy in other things. And it just won't do. Else, says the writer, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Do you know the line that strikes my heart with fear after a morning service? It is this. Hey, pastor. I was listening to this preacher on the internet. And he says, if I really believe, I will receive. And so I'm kind of listening to him a bit more. And so on it goes. They click into these strange ministries, you know. All the promises are given. Send your tax-deductible donation to gullibleministries.org. And then what happens is things don't pan out the way they thought they would. And they come back and they say, actually, I've lost my job. I'm getting a hard time for my friends for being a Christian. This isn't really working out for me. And disillusionment sets in because they followed strange teachings. When Jesus Christ says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, of course, false teachers always mix up a little bit of truth in there. Of course, there are blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ. Of course there are. But the core of it is a sacrificial following of him. We must never forget that. Drawn into strange ways. Never ever substitute being together over live stream. It's not real church. It's great for those who can't be here. But if you can be here and you're not here and you're watching by live stream, you need to be here. You need to be here. Never ever use the internet as a substitute, just surfing for spiritual food, instead of being together as God's people under the ministry of the word. That is so important. Do not be carried away by strange teachings. So many temptations in our day. So many. Jesus, Messiah, our great high priest, who offered himself as a sacrifice for sin once for all, obtained salvation for all who will come to him by faith. This was the extraordinary message that reached the hearts of these Jewish background believers. And what is happening here was that these Hebrew background believers were in danger of repeating their history. You know, this happens in every generation. That's why God's word is so pertinent, so prescient for us. Exodus 16, the Hebrews had been saved from slavery in Egypt, taken through the Red Sea, seen the miracles of God, and they come to Moses and Aaron and say, if only we had died in the desert or died in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. What a thing to say to the leaders who were instrumental under God in bringing them from slavery and would bring them to the land of promise. But do you know what God said to them? He said, when he saw their need, I'm going to rain down fire and brimstone, judgment, wrath. No, I'm going to rain down bread upon you. That's our God. He's the God of grace. They're moaning and groaning in the face of God. And God says, I'm going to rain down bread upon you. And then John chapter 6, Jesus turns up and he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that the manna pointed to. Isn't God so good? He's so good. This is our God. This is the one we follow. You know, back in the day, when my family sat in row two up there in the gallery, after the service, there would be a race back to the record player. Record player, young people, is a is an instrument upon which you place kind of vinyl discs and they go round. And the race was on because if I wasn't quick enough, my dad would get on Songs from the Sawdust Trail or some other gospel medley. But I used to like to get, the singer Keith Green at that point, and I used to try and get the Keith Green LPs on, LP long player. And one of his LPs was So You Want to Go Back to Egypt. And I remember as a young man listening to that music and thinking, I don't want to go back. I want to keep going for Jesus. And that is the message to the Hebrews. To look to Jesus. Don't even think about going back. Keep going forward. Hebrews was written to Jewish believers in Jesus. And the message was an unashamed one of the supremacy of Jesus Christ over all that's gone before, and a call to be faithful to him because persecution was looming. And you know as well as I do, we're in a similar circumstance in our day. But the message is, this is who Jesus is, and we are going to keep following him. The God who was and is immutable under the old covenant is the same God in Jesus Christ who is immutable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I leave you with this. Is Jesus Christ your datum? Is Jesus Christ your all? In the unfolding story of your life, where are you? Are you following him as you should? Because if you are, you will never regret it. Never regret it. All this is true for us too. This Lord Jesus that we follow is not the God of our imagination. He is the Christ of revelation, pointing us forward to the glory that is yet to be revealed. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his precious ministry to us, his life, his death, his resurrection. We thank you that today we know that he reigns and one day he will return. And we ask, Lord, that you would keep us faithful until that final day. I pray for the fellowship here. I thank you for the elders, for the deacons, for the members, for all who are associated with this church, that they will be found to be faithful followers of the risen Christ. Amen.
This is God's word this morning. Let's stand together and sing. We're going to sing in closing. It was